Hello and welcome to Sneaker Report, your weekly roundup of all the latest sneaker news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting. Holiday edition for Becky and me working from home.
Yes, hello.
How are you doing? Where you are?
I'm in sunny US of A, so I'm stateside at the moment, feeling a bit jet-lagged and very tired.
Well, at least someone is having fun. Well, I won't keep you for too long. So there's been fairly quiet week for Nikon, so we got a couple of news on film updates and more coverage on Z9 and 400mm. But overall, hopefully in 15 minutes, you're going to enjoy the sun on the beach or from your hotel window. You never know.
Yeah, shortest podcast ever. Okay, let's go for it.
Okay, so first one up is just a couple of news on 400mm. Last week, we had a bit of confusion about compatibility of newly announced 400 2.8 lens with a teleconverter. The question was, obviously, the lens has a built-in 1.4 teleconverter, but would it work with external teleconverters attached as well as the built-in teleconverter engaged? So finally, we have a bit of clarification. Nikon USA in their press release had this to say.
They said a built-in 1.4 times teleconverter enables a seamless and rapid switch from a 400 to a 560mm focal length. This we already knew. But what they additionally said was for even more reach, the lens also accepts Z teleconverters 1.4 times and 2 times for a maximum reach of 784mm and 1120mm respectively. So if we do the maths on that, we can quite clearly see that 400 with the 2x converter on it is 800. So the 1120mm is with the built-in converter also engaged, which is probably going to give us about an f8 lens, but is still very, very exciting and fills the gap for even more lenses than we expected.
Absolutely. Well, I've just done my paper napkin math on my phone since I can't write. It works out is, as Nikon said, 1120mm focal distance. But then if you switch to DX crop, let's say on your Z9, then it actually will give you 1680mm focal distance. So that's pretty good. I guess you can photograph the moon or Mars. You never know with it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty stunning. So although it's a premium price point lens, obviously it is answering a lot of demands, shall we say, for that long telephoto end where we've kind of been lacking up to now. So that's very exciting.
Absolutely. So you're basically buying 400mm and then you can extend to 1600mm. As you said, it's pricey, but then if you add those bits into this, and teleconverters are fairly inexpensive, so while you add those two bits, you can potentially extend it to a much longer focal distance. Now, another bit on 400mm is we had Brett Hill, who joined Nikon TV in Nikon Canada YouTube channel. So, and he talked extensively about 400mm and his use of this lens in the field.
Absolutely. He also talked about the Z9 on that same video. So when it comes to Z9 coverage, we do have some news. There is a new firmware update, version 1.11, that's been released. Yeah, so we're seeing rapid fire firmware updates. This is not the one that we were waiting for on the video side of things, but this actually fixes a couple of issues. So we had an issue fixed that prevented the camera from focusing on detected subjects during video recording when there were certain menu options in play. It also fixed typos in certain languages in the custom settings menu, so that's always good. Proofreader has been hard at work there. And then it added support for the 400mm f2.8 that we just talked about. So the lens is obviously going to be supported now by the Z9.
Absolutely. I think the most important feature is obviously the typos in the menu. So they finally copied and pasted it in the Word document and just, you know, proofread that. To sum it up, the main thing is they fixed the video in DX crop, which is very specific, and released, and they added the support of newly announced 400mm 2.8 lens.
Exactly. And moving on to more Z9 news, Matt Granger actually released a speed test with the last firmware version update. So this is on the Z9 and on his YouTube channel. If you're interested, do go check that out.
Fantastic. Now we have more tests coming in for Z9. Jim Carson, which is quite well known on DP review forums, had some tests on Z9. He's quite well known for testing cameras, but not just testing the cameras, but rigorously testing them. So he did a big test on GFX 100S. Now it's turn of Z9. So he got the camera about a week ago from Nikon, and so far he has published the following tests.
Yeah, he's done the Z9 engineering dynamic range, or EDR, Z9 dark field histograms, Z9 dark field spectra, high ISO Z9 shadow noise with visuals. He's tested how fast the Z9 shutter is, the Z9 read noise. This is the image noise that exists independent of the light collected by the sensor. Those are tests that you do usually at lower ISOs to see that.
Okay.
Z9 full well capacity, which is the number of electrons that one pixel of the sensor can hold at full scale at base ISO. Z9 photographic dynamic range, or PDR, which is a full scale over the mean signal level that produces a signal-to-noise ratio of 16,000 over the image height in pixels. Z9 static finder latency and finder latency at 20 frames per second. Visual effects of Z9 conversion gain switching with no noise reduction, and Z9 readout details. So,
wow.
Goodness me, that's a lot of tests.
Absolutely. A lot of unpack do head on his blog. And yeah, half of the things I don't even know. So do definitely check it out. I personally prefer those things more in use. But if you want to know your camera, especially the specifications and the sensor behavior from A to Z, those are the tests to look into. Absolutely. And then Jim Carson also reviewed Z9 small rig L bracket as well, which he's quite happy with. He normally uses really right stuff. And he just said, I'm waiting for my really right stuff L plate to arrive. This looks pretty good compared to the previous iterations.
Excellent. We also have the Z9 Autofocus AF tracking of birds in flight in dense branches by Cool Wildlife YouTube channel. He talks about settings for bird photography and AF response settings to combat branches, which is always a tricky issue when you're doing bird photography, obviously, particularly because the dense nature of leaves and foliage and branches can make it very difficult for autofocus systems to nail any kind of eye or bird tracking.
That's true, especially, yeah, it's sometimes, especially when you're using full autofocus system in the past where you wouldn't have animal recognition, then definitely camera would pick up branches over, let's say, the bird or the animal that you're photographing. So it's pretty good that Z9A has an animal recognition, and then also that if you set it up the way, like he recommends, the AF server delay effectively, so you keep it longer so the camera effectively continues to track the subject, it's pretty well. Remember I showed you photographs of Tilly going through the branches of the grass, and the camera still tracked Tilly over that period, and I think those settings are quite important, especially you're somewhere in the field and you really need to get that shot.
Absolutely. Obviously we haven't had much Z9 news, or we haven't been doing much Z9 news in recent weeks, so this is like a bonanza.
Absolutely. It's a showcase of Z9 features and capabilities.
That's right. So we also have a review from a YouTube channel called iPhone Do, which is entitled "Used it as my main camera in 8K. So this may appeal to videographers. This is definitely more video centric. And although I'm not personally familiar with this channel, it's quite interesting that they've decided to shoot the whole thing in 8K.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Matt Irvin, who we talked to last week on our last Friday live stream. He recommends check out this channel. So I watched this video. It's really, really good. Especially, we always thought of Nikon as not a video camera. And obviously Z9 and previously Z6 has changed this assumption. So for people who are still on the fence, then do check this video out. Now, switching to professional stills photographers, if you want to know how pros using their cameras for commercial photography, so we have sports photographer Mark Payne give an interview to DP Review website. It's really cool. He's photographing sport events like English Premier League, etc., etc. So as normally with professionals, they don't really look into specifications as such. They were excited about things like autofocus speed, etc., etc. But it's more interview of how he finds the use of the camera in the field for commercial jobs. So do check it out. It's very interesting read.
Awesome.
The next one up is a bit of an interesting one. It was published on Nikon Rumors, and it's about BCN Rankin, who released a new report on laser sales data of Japanese market.
Why is that interesting, Con?
All right, I'll tell you why. Because this report shows that Nikon Z cameras and lenses sold pretty much the same in Japan at the end of the year last year as Canon RF system, so that's Canon mirrorless system, and Fujifilm X, which is DX Fujifilm system. Now, we generally don't report on BCN rankings, and I'll tell you why, because they generally don't track professional dealers. They generally track a new eggs or Walmarts of Japan, so basically a supermarkets. And if you think about it, those generally deal with entry-level cameras, so not pro or semi-pro photography. So they generally report on those sales because pretty much the Walmart is not going to sell you Z9, as simple as that. What interesting here and the positive sign is that we normally didn't think of Nikon Z system as entry level. And obviously, Nikon now released Z50 and ZFC, and then we have cameras like Z5. Nikon still sells Z6, which is first generation of Z6 cameras. So you can see that Nikon actually is catching up with other players in this field. Obviously, Sony is still quite far away because they have much more offerings in this space, but it's nice to be on the same level with Fujifilm and Canon, I think. But imagine if they're going to release their 30 at some point, where are we going to be? And just being on the same level with other brands, because, you know, a lot of people said, well, Nikon is late to the party. Remember this?
Yes, that's been a kind of bandied around quite a lot in recent years, particularly. But I don't necessarily think that's the case. And also, just the numbers show that Nikon are capable and have been selling as many cameras as other brands. So I don't think the late to the party argument really holds up.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And as I say, imagine they release their 30, then yes, we definitely will fulfill that entry level void. But as you say, it doesn't matter if you're late to the party, because if you look at Z9, it effectively competes with the top offerings from all other leaders.
Yeah. Exactly. In third-party news, there is a new Nikon shutter count software, version 3.0, which has been released with Z9 support. This is a free piece of software. To be honest, I didn't know that there was a version 2 or 1, but
surprise,
allows you to check the shutter count on your cameras.
Yeah, what's interesting about this bit of software, it's not only shows you the total amount of shutter actuations, but also shows you the electronic shots taken as well. So it will give you a mechanical shutter, then electronic shutter, and then total amount of shots. So that's pretty interesting. Obviously, with something like Z9, which they added the support of, it only will show you the amount of electronic shutter actuations because camera doesn't have mechanical shutter.
Exactly. So if you are interested in knowing how many shots your camera's done, whether it's for the sake of selling it or just to see what its sort of rough life expectancy is, then do go and check that out. We'll pop a link in the description box below.
Absolutely. And if you're lazy and you don't want to install any software, then there's a nice website which is called camerashuttercount.com, which has two buttons. Choose the image and upload. And you upload the JPEG, not RAW file, on there, and it should give you the amount of shots that your camera has taken. Pretty straightforward. And we have a video somewhere on our YouTube channel about it.
Very old one. I was wearing a beanie.
That's right.
That's all I remember.
I heard the beanies are coming back, especially with Gray's logo, you know?
Yeah. Beanies are going to come way back into fashion. We're going to bring them back into fashion.
All right, what's next, Becky?
So next up, Amateur Photographer published an article which was titled "Photographers Set to Face Equipment Shortages in 2022," which doesn't sound like new news to us because we kind of already knew that already. But it's interesting that they spoke to a number of different camera manufacturers and actually found that there was a mixture of caution and honesty about the fact that some product supplies might not be met. Just to give you some examples, it's a non-Nikon related necessarily, but Sony have admitted that the production of certain products is being affected. Leica has stated that there will be points during the next year when it is unable to meet customer demand. And Nikon, as we know, has said, we are currently experiencing supply chain disruption and delivery delays. On the flip side of those comments, the OM Digital Solutions, which was formerly Olympus, has told them that they do not foresee any delays with their launch plan for new products based on current info. But the situation with regards to all photographic equipment launches and subsequent supplies remains fluid.
All right. Well, I'm glad that Olympus is doing okay. We should all switch to Olympus, I think. So sell your Sonys, sell your Canons and Nikons, buy Olympus cameras. For some of you who don't know, apparently both cameras and lenses require semiconductors. So for example, CMOS sensor, which stands for complementary metal oxide semiconductor, very interesting. So image sensing digital cameras convert photons to electrons for digital processing, while processors in lenses help to control aspects such as aperture and focus control or image stabilization. So it's not just cameras that's affected, lenses as well. If you want to read more and more details from comments from other manufacturers like Leica and other brands, do check it out. Fujifilm and Canon are still quiet on that, so hopefully they'll come through as well.
Exactly. In other third-party news, Meyer Optic have announced a new lens, which is a Gurlitz Trioplan 35mm f2.8 Mark II for the Nikon F and Z mounts.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so let's see what they have. So it weighs about 300 grams, which is pretty cool. Manual focus, of course. cost $899. So it is a pretty pricey lens for 35 of 2.8. So it should be hopefully really good. I mean, I do like the design of it. It looks nice and metal. So it looks almost similar to, let's say, Voigtlander type of lenses or Leicas. So hopefully it's pretty good. And for some of you who enjoy manual focus photography on Z cameras, it could be a good choice.
Exactly. Assuming that this is correct, we also have AlphaGuard, who have actually put on a camera and lens skin winter sale. So if you want your camera to look like this or like this, then you can head to their website where they've got a collection of Nikon skins just for your camera.
Absolutely. We're all different. We are not here to judge. All right, let's move to review sections. ePhotozine published a review on Nikon 100-400 lens. They gave it highly recommended. Here's some things that they liked.
So outstanding sharpness, low flare, attractive bokeh, modest distortion, low chromatic aberration, moderate to low vignetting, fast, accurate, and virtually silent AF, weather sealing, reasonable weight, and excellent ergonomics. What about the stuff they didn't like?
All right, well, they didn't like the higher price of it. Okay, it is more expensive than the F-mount version. The lens hood is a bit fiddly to remove. This, I would say yes and no. I guess when I first tried to put it on the camera, it was fine. And then removing was a little bit tricky. But then once I kind of got hand of it, so that was fine. And then what they say is they don't really like the bokeh. They say in small apertures, it can get quite overly busy. To be honest with you, if you're photographing most of trees and foliage and that you would normally do in wildlife photography, generally the bokeh is going to be quite busy on small apertures. I agree.
Great. We've got a review coming up on the 100 to 400 reasonably soon as well. So we'll give you our opinion once we have it.
Stay tuned.
Next up, we have the perfect landscape photography lens, ? This is the 24-120 Z lens review by Nigel Danson. The man and his dog.
In the forest alone. It's pretty good videos. I'm just enjoying it. It's so therapeutic to watch a man setting up the tripod, walking away, and then walking towards the camera and talking. It's amazing. But I also enjoy that he actually, after the shots are taken, he prints them out and look at the prints. That's how he judges the equipment, based on prints, not just pixel peeping on the cameras. I do respect this. I think print should be a final step of picture making process. So generally, if you don't print, you should start soon.
No, it's definitely a really nice way to kind of complete your impression of a particular product, a camera or a lens, because looking at it on the screen is one thing, but seeing it in physical form is an entirely different experience.
Absolutely. I can also add that looking on your Instagram screen on your phone, that's not the right way to judge the sharpness of the lens.
Doesn't cut it. No, all right, we also have Nikon Z9 in the field, best wildlife camera ever, better than A1, R5 and R3. Surprising results. This is quite an clickbaity title, but anyway, this review is by Jan Wegener YouTube, and the review seems to be aimed at the audience of new Z9 owners, so people who are inexperienced with the Nikon AF system, with shooting banks, with the kind of inner workings of pro DSLRs. We obviously know most of these things already, or will or have quite a lot of experience with these things moving from other Nikons to this one. But if you're kind of getting into the Z9, having moved from another brand, for example, then this is worth a watch.
So Bex, what do you think? Is the Z9 the camera that will convince a lot of people using other brands to consider Nikon camera in the future?
I think that based on some vague rumors that I heard, that's definitely part of Nikon's tactic, particularly in the USA. This is possibly why the USA got such a large share of Z9s, whereas the rest of the world has been left somewhat lacking. But I do think that Nikon consider this to be a game-changing camera. And I've spoken to many photographers who are using different brands who are now switching over because of it. So yeah, proof is in the pudding, as they say.
Absolutely. I'm just looking at the comments under our videos, and we do get some other system users, Canon, Sony users, cautiously looking into our videos and just reading about Nikon equipment. And I think that the seed has been planted. Another seed planter, as we would call it, Nikon ZFC, is also selling quite well. And that's what BCN rankings show. There is a review on it by Niels Kemp Creative. And he asked the question, should you buy?
Yes. Now, we've also actually published our ZFC review, which you can check out on our channel. Just a full disclosure, the audio is not our usual high level, and there were a few comments regarding that. This is primarily because it was something like 20 mile per hour winds that day, and we had to tuck our mics very deep below our coats, and then because of that, had to recover quite a lot of the audio, which there's only so much skill I have in that department. But saying that, overall, the review was very well received, I think. And we have done an earlier kind of walkabout vlog for street photography in Brick Lane, which we did some months back. So we've been using it. We've thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think that the review by Niels Kemp Creative on YouTube probably echoes a lot of that as well.
Absolutely. And as you know, we're always going to say, I want my full frame ZF.
That's what we're looking for. That's our conclusion.
Absolutely. And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us this week. We're going to come out in this format for next few weeks like this. So stay tuned with us. Hopefully, we can learn how to do it in a more streamlined way. But if you have any comments or suggestions how we can streamline the remote recording of this podcast, do let us know in the comments below.
Thank you very much for watching and or listening. Please give us a like and a subscribe if you're on YouTube, or a follow, perhaps even a review if you're listening on a podcast platform.
Absolutely. If you'd like to see Becky's travels in the United States of America, do join her on her Instagram account.
It's Rebecca_Danese, although I'm not making any promises for holiday selfies. And how about you?
Well, I'm staying at home, you know, just doing hard work. So do join me at Konstantin Kochkin. Maybe I'll put some tests on the Instagram. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.